Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
The fruit of the Spirit has nine aspects which are listed for us in Galatians chapter 5. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. We have worked our way through the list and we've come to the last one, self-control. And I'm taking a little bit longer with that one because I have gotten focused on self-control as it applies to pastors. And that's found in Titus chapter 1, when it says in verse 7, "For a bishop must be blameless as a steward of God, not self-willed, not quick-tempered, not given to wine, not violent, not greedy for money, but," verse 8, "hospitable, a lover of what is good, sober-minded, just, holy, self-controlled." Now, I'm not focusing upon this because I'm a pastor and I like to talk about who I am and what I do. That would be a normal thing, I suppose. But I'm concentrating on this because I feel a burden and I sense a need in American Christianity among Bible believing churches and pastors for pastors who are self-controlled, self-disciplined in regard to their sermon preparation. The ministry, the public ministry of God's Word being priority number one for a pastor according to the Bible. That's what pastors do uniquely. And when I say uniquely, I don't mean that nobody else can teach the Word of God. Thank God for godly Sunday school teachers, lay people, volunteers who teach the Word of God in various ways. But as far as the responsibility of teaching the Word of God to the congregation, the pastor is given that task by the design of God. And that's the one thing that he does that nobody else can do except him. Nobody else can do that on a regular basis. Nobody else can pastor the church in that way. Other people can do visitation. Other people can do all kinds of administrative tasks. Other people can run errands. Other people can do counseling. But the pastor, by God's design, must do the bulk of the public ministry of the Word. That's his job number one. Do you remember some years ago, I think Ford Motor Company had the commercial, "Quality is job number one." I wish they had not lost track of that. That's the problem. They'll get on a quality kick for a while and then seem to forget it for a while and then get back to it for a while. I think they're back to it now. But in the meantime, people lose confidence. And other times there are manufacturers, usually foreign manufacturers, that make quality job number one all the time. It has been for their whole existence. It's not an advertising slogan. It's a true philosophy of doing business. And people learn that, and they're willing to pay more for a good quality product than they will for one that they're uncertain about. It might turn out to be good quality, but it's hard to tell. You never know. You never know which way it's going. But be that as it may, for the pastor, job number one is preaching, the public ministry of the Word. That's by the design of God. That's what is taught in the Word of God. So that's not opinion, that's Scripture. And I hope I don't have to prove that to you by taking you to various texts, but I took you to one yesterday, just one, in Acts chapter 6. The first deacons were selected for that very reason. It is not suitable that we should leave the Word of God to serve tables. We will therefore look out from among yourselves, seven men, full of the Holy Spirit and so forth, and we will give ourselves, said Peter, in speaking for the other pastors, a large church, several thousand members, they needed several pastors, we will give ourselves continually to the Word of God in prayer. Continually to the Word of God. That's priority number one. And nothing else will substitute for that. Now, sometimes I hear people evaluating pastors in something like this. Well, he's not a very good preacher, but he's such a lovely man. He's a good visitor. He visits a lot, and we appreciate that. He gets in our home. He's friendly. The children like talking to him and so forth. And so he's not a good preacher, but he's a good pastor. We like him. Well, I can understand that. And I'm not saying that it's not good to get into homes and to talk to people and to relate to children and all of that. But that's not the first priority. Priority number one is being a good preacher. And whatever it takes to do that, you've got to do it. And that's where this issue of self-control comes in. Self-control. He must be self-controlled. Hospitable, a lover of what is good, sober-minded, just, holy, self-controlled. And he's got to be self-controlled enough, self-disciplined enough, to guard his sermon preparation, his time with God, his study of God's Word, sufficiently so that he can preach well. Well, you say he doesn't have those gifts, then he doesn't qualify. When you talk about the qualifications for pastors, the one thing that sets the pastor apart, say from the deacon, is his aptitude to teach. That's the public teaching of God's Word. If he doesn't have that, if he doesn't have an obvious God-given ability to preach, to teach, to publicly teach the Word of God, he doesn't qualify to be a pastor in the first place. I'm sure there are many wonderful ways that he can serve the Lord, many wonderful ways he can serve the cause of Christ, many wonderful ways he can serve the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. But pastoring isn't one of them, because he's got to have an aptitude to teach. So making excuses for somebody as if there's a trade-off, well, this pastor's a good preacher, and so he's good in that area, but this other pastor, he's a good something else, and we're happy with that. Well, don't be. Don't be. The first priority is that he be a capable preacher, which not only requires the gifts of preaching, but requires serious preparation, and that requires self-discipline. That's where the self-discipline, the self-control comes in. But this is where you, as a church member, can be a big help. You need to recognize that. Help him protect that time. Encourage him to protect that time. Now, I don't want to belabor this too long, so I'm just going to say a couple other things, then we'll move on. I have found in my experience over the years that I had to come to the settled conclusion myself that that was my main priority, the preparation and public ministry of God's Word, so much so that I was willing to not do the other things that were expected of me, and it's difficult to not do things that you know other people think you ought to be doing. There's a certain psychological pressure that is put upon you about that, and it's hard to be able to concentrate upon sermon preparation if while you're doing that your mind is saying, so-and-so thinks I ought to be doing this, so-and-so thinks I ought to be doing that, the church is going to think that I'm lazy if I spend all my time in the study, and you have this pressure on you. So, number one, you've got to determine in your own mind that your primary responsibility is to please the Lord, even if you don't please anybody else. Start with that. But then, number two, you're going to have to instruct the church. Churches don't always know these things because they haven't been taught. And they haven't always had pastors who have modeled this for them. And they've had pastors who've given them the impression that the pastor's primary responsibility is to be involved in everything else, and that somehow sermons just fall down from heaven without preparation. So you're going to have to instruct the church to say, this is what the Bible tells me I'm supposed to do. This is what God expects of me. This is what I'm going to have to answer for when I stand before God. If I'm going to hear his well done, thou good and faithful servant, it's going to only come if I am giving the public ministry of the word my first priority in both effort and in scheduling. And to do that, I'm going to have to neglect some other things. I'm going to have to delegate some other things. It's not that I neglect them. Well, it is that I neglect them, but it's not that they get neglected. It's that there are things that other people can do. And, you know, it'll take a while to make the adjustments. You can't go from 0 to 10 overnight in this sort of matter. It'll take some while moving up to it, but just keep patiently working in that direction until people understand. And God will raise up other people who can do a lot of the other things that previously the church expected the pastor to do. It may be the church will grow to the place where it can have a multiple pastoral staff, and it may be that by delegating different responsibilities to different pastors, that will suffice in part, and one pastor may be the primary preaching pastor. We hear that sometimes. Multiple staff, and this man is the teaching pastor, the preaching pastor. Well, that may help solve the problem, and there may be some other things that will help solve the problem, but you're going to have to train your people to have biblical expectations, not cultural expectations, not traditional expectations, but biblical expectations. The pastor has to have biblical expectations. The people need to learn to have biblical expectations. When you get those two things going, then you can accomplish what I'm talking about, if you will, discipline yourself to it. You're going to have to control yourself and your own time and carve out the time and go to it. But you're going to have to have cooperation. If your church just won't accept that, there's going to be a problem, isn't there? This is what I know I need to be doing, and my church insists that I need to be doing something else. That's going to be a problem. So you're going to have to teach them, but you're going to have to be determined about this, men. If you're not 100% committed to this, then it's not going to happen. You've got to be disciplined. You've got to be disciplined in your determination to accomplish what God says needs to be accomplished, and you're going to have to be disciplined enough to get into that study and work hard. And it is hard work. In fact, it's harder work sometimes than running errands and going here and there and doing visitation, which can be hard work too, but for many people, the discipline of study is the hardest work of all. But there's nothing lazy about a man who spends hours in the study. That's what he's called to do. So help him do it. Encourage him to do it. Do what you can to arrange others in the church to take over tasks that would take away from that. Like those first deacons. Give this job to somebody else. It's not suitable that we, pastors, should leave the Word of God and do all these other things. Other people can do them. So let's find people to do them so that we can give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of God's Word. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.